This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, April 9th, 2010, as we get closer to the NFL draft, Patriots really starting to pick up the pace with the free agent moves. And here to talk about it is Eric Scalavino, an expert on Damian Lewis.
I wouldn't go that
formerly
far.
Formerly of the St. Louis Rams and Carolina Panthers, former number 12 overall pick out of Miami, I believe, Eric.
Correct. Yep.
The U. More of a 4-3 defensive lineman. What make you of this move, Eric?
Well, that couple. Well, first of all, we should say that the move was reported a week ago today, and it still has not yet been officially confirmed by the team. That's par for the course with our PR department. They're the last to know, usually, when it comes to free agent signings.
I don't know why you have to take shots at them. It's not their fault that they're not informed.
Pointing out a fact. That's all. No, I didn't say it was their fault. I'm just saying that's how it typically goes. So we're still talking about a reported signing, but that being the case.
Pretty sure everybody, including, like, his mom, has reported it. So it's
yeah. Right. Wikipedia updated it, like, minutes later.
According to Wikipedia, and so, Wikipedia is never wrong.
But I think this kind of ties in very nicely with our Debate Friday topic of the week, which we just posted a little earlier on Patriots.com, about whether or not the Patriots are thinking about or should move from a 3-4 base to a 4-3. And I tend to agree with the side you took in that debate, Andy, that they should.
My bumper sticker is scrap the 2-gap.
Right. And Paul's just the opposite. He thinks they should stay put.
Homer Perillo.
In the 3-4?
No.
And just find the players?
No, I don't care if they play a 3-4 or 4-3. I think that was the first sentence of my argument.
I dozed off before.
I don't care if they play a 4-man line. Matter of fact, as Andy correctly pointed out, they played 4-man fronts for the majority of last season.
They did.
I am not overly in favor of an entire philosophy change, which I think Andy is probably more encouraged about than I am.
Speed kills offenses. Yeah.
I think you can maintain your principles in your style of play in terms of gap control, setting the edge on the outside, two gapping up front, and stopping the run as effectively as I think they have without changing 4-3, 3-4, and all that stuff. So
blah.
That's where I would change a little bit.
Perhaps. Big fat two gappers, you know what they get? They get embarrassed.
Well, but I think that it's interesting then that they sign a guy like Damian Lewis who's predominantly played in 4-3 schemes and one-gap type situations. And, my first impression was underwhelming when I heard the signing because my recollection of Damian Lewis was that of the 12th overall pick, as you mentioned, who sort of underachieved, I think is a polite way to put it, in St. Louis, ended up with Carolina. But he's 32 years old. He's played his best football, I think, the last couple of years. He started 31 of 32 games. He's had 4 sacks in those 2 times. Both years, he's had more than 40 total tackles. And that's a far cry from what he had in his previous however many years here, 8 years before that. So we might be getting him at a time that he's playing his best football. It's just a matter of
veteran.
How much of a difference is his best football going to make on this team?
And I think the question is, can he just be a committee guy? Can he be whatever the front, whatever the scheme, can he play a role that also includes Mike Wright and Myron Pryor and Ron Brace and whoever else, whether that be in 4-man lines, 3-man lines, 2-gapping, whatever. I think they need a couple extra bodies there, and I think it's good to add a veteran body who, you said, has played some decent football of late.
I also think it might pay some dividends, and we talked about this a little bit on PFW in Progress, just in that Bill has brought in some veteran defensive linemen who were considered good locker room people, guys like Anthony Pleasant and Bobby Hamilton and Rick Lyle, some guys like that, and by all accounts, Damian Lewis is a good locker room guy.
So hardworking,
a 32-year-old guy who's been around a little bit, is known for being a good leader. Again, we get back to that chemistry thing that has been the theme of this offseason. Probably a guy that makes some sense off the field, maybe even more so than on the field.
Okay. Since that one is a close to an official signing, even though it's not official yet, it's still reported, now we're really going to delve into the rumor, innuendo, and reports. And I want to start with reports that Dez Bryant was in town for one of the 30 visits the team is allowed to have with prospects here at Gillette Stadium. Crossed paths with Todd McShay, actually, at Logan Airport, and then all the other papers reported that he was visiting here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, one of the maybe a poor man's Tim Tebow in terms of a story of the draft. Pretty much everyone assumes he's an elite talent at wide receiver, big body, you know, 4-5, fast enough, ultra productive a couple years ago, suspended last year. A lot of different stories, angles here. And I find it interesting that he has been compared from others to Randy Moss, and even recently he's compared himself to Randy Moss in terms of elite talent dropping, look what he did, blah, blah, blah. He had a lot of quotes, you know, talking about Moss. Do we think it's a legit possibility if his stock falls far enough to 22 that the New England Patriots would take a questionable maturity guy at a questionable position of wide receiver with the 22nd pick?
Well, I think that's kind of why they're doing their due diligence by inviting him here to make sure, because I think we've seen in a lot of mock drafts, he's all over the map. You know, some people have him high up, others have him falling down to our New England pick. So I think they're doing themselves the service of trying to find out just in case. And that kind of tells me that they would consider it. If they're going to the lengths of actually bringing the guy here, he's under consideration.
Or you at least want to know the specific reason why you're not taking him at 22 and you're
right,
allowing him to go past you to 23 so that you feel comfortable about the decision.
One way or the
you
other.
Don't just assume, yeah, oh, he's immature, I'm not taking him.
You're right. You want to know for sure.
Definitely makes sense to bring him in and make sure you get all the information that you can. I would be surprised, to answer your original question, Andy, for him at 22. I think he's a terrific talent. I'm probably higher on him than both of you guys are. You guys were unimpressed at the combine, if I recall.
Very much so.
Terrific talent.
He needs to pop in the tape. He needs to take from 2 years ago and just let that speak for him, because I think the more he speaks, appears, visits,
the
I don't think he does himself a lot of good. I think what is good for him is showing a 6'2", 220-pound guy being very productive with whatever. He had like 1,300 yards and a ton of touchdowns a couple of years ago. That's what he needs to stand by.
Yeah, I agree. The reason I would be reluctant or surprised is because I don't think this is – it's not a real top-heavy wide receiver class. There aren't going to be a ton of first-round wide receivers. May only be one, you know, when all is said and done. So I think you can get a really good player in the second round at that position. It's not like offensive tackle, for example. There's probably going to be 4, 5, 6 maybe even first-round tackles. So if you want one, you got to take one of the best ones on the board if you want a really good one. Wide receiver, I think you can get a really good one. You know, even if you wait to the third, fourth, or fifth one, you might end up in the middle of the second round or later. So that's why I would be surprised if they bite the bullet and take the top wide receiver on the board who has a off-field question mark. I'd be surprised by that.
And I believe there's another Moss connection that I read about today where I think Moss's coach at Marshall was a coach for...
A position coach at Oklahoma State.
So
a stretch there.
A little bit of a stretch, but...
it's a connection. I mean, I don't know that it's a relevant
but it's...
You know, do they both use Colgate toothpaste?
No, but I mean, it's, you know.
That'd be more of a connection than this would be.
Okay, let's get into really far-fetched rumor, innuendo, and speculation. Albert Haynesworth, by all accounts, could be available, was offered to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Except for Adam Schefter.
Yeah, and whose pocket is he in?
Mike Shanahan's.
Thank you, no further questions. By all accounts, Albert Haynesworth is available. Prize free agent from not that long ago. We're 1 year removed from $100 million deals at midnight and defensive player of the year type talk and how great he is.
And they're ready to move him already.
They paid him $20-plus million a couple weeks ago, and now you can trade for him on what would seem like a palatable deal that includes apparently $9 million of guarantees and 3 years, $16 million is what you'd be acquiring in a trade. My question to you guys is, A, and I think I know the answer to the first one, would you take Albert Haynesworth? B, how would he fit in as a New England Patriot? What would it mean for the defensive front that we talked about to lead off this telecast?
Well, it would certainly mean a switch to the 4-3.
Would it?
In my opinion.
Well, Andy doesn't think it would have to. I do.
I think if Jarvis Green can play end, I'll take my chances with
Haynesworth. You put Will Fork and Haynesworth at your defensive tackles?
I mean, no one's going to run the ball. No one's going to be able to run the ball.
As the immortal Fred Jake Steele Kirsch said, just hand him the Lombardi trophy.
He did say that yesterday in Paul's office.
What if they drop back and pass?
I don't know.
Yeah, I am not sold that you'd have to play a four-man front and tackle. I think there's a chance he could play the end. I think there's a chance he might take it as a challenge. Doesn't want to play the nose for the Redskins as a 3-4 nose tackle.
Where would you put him in Seymour's spot on the right?
Yeah, the right, that open hole on that right. As I said, I mean, we've tried other guys there that have been competitive or
lesser,
been run over.
Lesser players.
I'd take my chances with him, and then maybe I do, game four, say, you know what, we're better off going to a four-man front, whatever. I just think he is an elite defensive line talent that if you can get for 3 years and $16 million for a trade.
Well, what else are you giving up? What are you giving up for?
Draft picks.
A first-round pick?
I'd give up a first-round pick for him. I would.
Would you give up the 22?
For which is what I was going to, you know, I was going to pose that was my
That's
debate
the only issue
first round pick for
I would have with. Because, as I told you guys number of times, and some Kevin Heisek idiot will be discussing on Tuesday on PFW in Progress, yes, you're in the podcast, Kevin. I hope you download it and listen now. Prep for Tuesday because we're going at it. But I don't think, I'm not sure how much value you want to put into that hole at right defensive end in light of all the other needs you have, because now you're still going to have your second-round picks, but are you missing out on the perfect player, which pretty much everyone seems to say now, Sergio Kindle is the perfect fit for this defense, the 3-4, you know, assuming they stay in a 3-4.
Yep.
I don't know that I want to give that up to fill that defensive end spot for a guy we don't know if he'll play defensive end. Mm. Do I have to overhaul the system to fit him in? What are we doing? How are we doing it? So I'd be hesitant, I think, the first-round pick, anything else, I'd make the deal immediately. And I don't know that you would need to go first-round pick. If they want to get rid of him, I mean, they traded a second-round pick for McNabb, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they kind of wanted to trade Haynesworth for McNabb, so maybe they're
maybe
in that second-round
range. Take a second
round
pick.
I'm not saying that you would have to give up the first-rounder. I'm saying would you give up a first-rounder if that's what it took?
No.
I would.
I might.
You said you would, Paul.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you're going to get a player as good at 22 as Albert
Well,
that's
Kevin Heisek.
I mean,
if
the Redskins are willing to take a second, that's sure.
Say, oh, listen, if I can get him, if I can get him for a
second. They go, we want a second. Paul goes, no, I'll give you a first.
No, I'm going to insist. It's got to be a first. Hey, listen, if I could give one of the compensatory sevenths, I'm going to do it.
Good Lord.
But I'm saying if it takes a first, would you be willing to give a first? And my answer would be yes.
He would make a lot of people around him better. He would make Tully Banner.
I would still want that first round pick.
See, to me, the salary is huge, too.
No, I know all that.
The first round pick is going to probably cost you more than that.
But I'm just thinking about, I would consider it. It would be torn. Eric, you wanted to delve into some of the other guys they brought in for workouts?
Well, because they've been bringing in, it seems, more and more defensive linemen, either for the pre-draft visits or the personal one-on-one workouts. Guy from Syracuse, Arthur Jones.
I like him.
This week.
Sure. Great player.
They gave up the program
of course,
yet?
Says our esteemed
Syracuse drop football yet?
They're going to be in a bowl game next year.
That's coming.
Tyson Alualu from Cal.
Not Why a is fan. Kyle Singler going to play quarterback next year?
And
you didn't get that, did you?
No, we're trying to have a serious conversation about football.
John Shire.
Daniel.
Like conversations going on.
Teo Neshim from University of Washington. Defensive end slash outside linebacker.
Yeah. He's a very productive
Another
outside
native
linebacker.
Hawaiian.
Intriguing guy. You know me. I'm big on getting
Intriguing
Hawaiians,
guys.
Samoans, and those types on my defense. I think they are ferocious athletes.
And there
Who's
are...
that guy? Tongans. Tongans, Samoans, Hawaiians.
Where's the guy
who's
from
that
Utah
guy?
From? The Koomisi. Where's he from?
I don't know.
What's his descent?
Samoa, probably.
He's
American Samoa.
He's impressive.
I think.
He's impressive.
Yeah, we liked him. Wish we had more tape of him.
If your heritage ends in Samoan, Tongan, Hawaiian, I'll take you.
Italian?
Australian?
No, I don't want Italians. Or
Australian?
If you're a punter, I'll take you as an Australian.
Austrian?
German?
See, he's a good tackle, isn't he?
Right.
Proving my point. Boy. You idiots could have gone with American, Bavarian.
You idiot.
We're thinking global.
Do you have any other names you'd like to throw
That's
out
pretty
there
much
before
it.
I put a wrap
That's
on
pretty
this,
much it. Put a wrap on this.
Terrible.
Put some perfume on
and
this.
And we're going to finish it with the roster of people we're going to take out on PFW in Progress next Tuesday. And that's Kevin Heisek, an emailer who has really,
Made
really
big mistake
stirred
of emailing.
The pot here at PFW.
Hitting send.
I urge you to listen to the Patriots Football Weekly in Progress podcast on Tuesday. But until then, this is going to put the wraps
Good
on
God.
Another roster report where Damian Lewis is reportedly on the team. Next week, we'll tell you he's officially on the team. Until then, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.